You know, we're just asking the same kind of questions you ask people. We know you have to individualize it to the particular patient, but kind of just generally asking what people would do. We are also curious if you're going to use it, because we have data, obviously, with all three, which one? A lot of the audience says no preference, and you can see people a little bit split. But we're also interested, Jonathan, about this issue of dosing of niraparib. I think the first time we started to hear about that was a year ago here at this meeting. So we presented what's now becoming a classic case of a woman who's under 177 pounds, normal platelet count. The audience is pretty well on board with 200 milligrams. And looks like there was more data that was presented at this meeting on the question. Still seems like this model holds. Is that your take, Jonathan?
I think that's the case. I think we were all very concerned about the early onset of neutropenia in patients on 300 milligrams and were then very reassured by the radar data. And I think we've sort of extrapolated that to virtually all patients, and certainly my practice will be almost entirely to treat with 200 milligrams, irrespective of the platelet count or the weight. And it was reassuring to see that actually when you look at the progression-free survival in relation to the dose that patients had, there didn't seem to be any difference. So I think that 200 milligrams daily is an effective dose, and it's certainly more tolerable. We see less myelosuppression at that dose.
So, Katie, quick question from the audience. Do patients develop somatic BRCA mutations over time? We're used to our discussions, chronic lymphocytic leukemia. They have to repeat the markers each time because people can develop 17p, p53. Katie, do we know anything about whether people acquire somatic BRCA mutations with time?
I actually don't know the data on that. I think that with ovary cancer, there's a few studies that look at sort of temporal heterogeneity with biopsies over time. And we've done this with HRD, which of course remains stable because it's not really a functional test, it's more a scar test. But the mutations tend to stay fairly stable over time. So I don't really think you acquire BRCA mutations. I've never seen that, but I'm going to defer to Rob.
See, anyhow,
usually knows more than me about
this. I just want to congratulate the person on asking the question Katie wasn't sure about the answer for, but let's just move on. We'll get kind of to the cases.